And this is the hour we take your phone calls with Mr. Lobo. Stories, questions, as we talk about sci-fi, horror films, and some other spooky things, next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Mr. Lobo with us as we talk about all this. Now, when you were younger, when you were a kid, were you into all this?
Absolutely, but I was terrified. It was my father who was really into it, and I was cowering under the coffee table, trying to be as close to his recliner as possible, but definitely trying to stay out of reach of the crawling hand or whatever was coming out of the television set. And one day I had a mental break and realized that this isn't to torture me. This is playtime, you know, and I really began to enjoy it. And then I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to figure out, you know, is that jelly coming out of the crawling hand, or could I make that out of a rubber glove? You know, you start having those thoughts that maybe you could scare someone, or you could put on a show, or, you know, and I think that's a lot of what those programs, especially with imagination and stuff like that, they breed imagination. You want to create those illusions.
They sure do. Let's have some fun this hour. Jeffrey in Altaloma, California, to get us started on the wild card line. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Greetings, Jeffrey. Welcome.
Thank you. It's funny you mentioned the crawling hand. That's what I called. I'm
psychic. I received that with my mind. I knew you were calling about the crawling hand.
When I was 10 or 11, I saw that movie, and until I was about 13 or 14, I finally convinced myself it wasn't under my bed. It gave me nightmares.
Yeah, that's the power of that film. That one got a lot of people.
Yeah, and also, I really like to mention The Outer Limits. That was one of my favorites.
That was a great one.
What's your favorite episode of The Outer Limits?
Oh, gosh. Maybe the one with the guy with the big bulbous head running around.
That's a good one. Xanti Misfits is my favorite, with the weird insects.
Different mindset from One Step Beyond in Twilight Zone, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
Stranger.
ABC had a mandate that they had to show the monster in the first 5 minutes, so it was totally in reversal. There was never any suspense.
Really?
It was a monster of the week show, so it was all they had a very different mandate than Twilight Zone. They were the anti-Twilight Zone.
How did they do in the ratings?
Very well, very well. It was a very popular show, but they definitely were counter-programming Twilight Zone. So it was monster of the week. That was how that show was designed.
Let's go to Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Jay's with us, first time caller. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention three movies. One was Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Love that movie.
The second is Attack of the Mushroom People.
I love that movie too, but these are all very misunderstood movies.
And the third is I'm not sure the title. It's the Torture Chamber of Dr. Sadism or Sadism.
I think it might be Dr. Satan, but I'm not sure. I think I know what you're talking about though.
Christopher Lee was in it, where it was kind of based on The Pit and the Pendulum.
That's great. Hey, Jay, I grew up in Dearborn Heights.
Yeah, I know that.
Great spot.
Born in Telegraph.
Yep, and I was up down more south toward Taylor, right by Telegraph in Annapolis, right around there.
I know where that is.
Yep, absolutely.
I know where that is.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jay.
Thanks, bye.
Appreciate it. Small world, isn't it, Mr. Lobo?
It's very strange. Yeah. We're going to get a call from St. Louis tonight. I just know.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, they love you. They love you everywhere.
Oh, no.
It's your personality or something. You're good to people.
I'm controlling them with my hypno rays. They have no will of their own.
Have you ever put a spell or a curse on anybody? No, you're not that way.
No. Just some brainwashing, perhaps. But
perhaps
nothing serious.
So you're a host, but like right around Halloween, what do you do?
Right around Halloween, usually there are a lot of I host film festivals typically You know, that's a lot of what I end up doing.
Which, by the way, is only 2.5 months away. Can you believe
appearances,
that?
Appearances at movie theaters hosting shows is typical. I do some conventions. I used to do Monster Bash, but they're not doing it in October this year, so I might be at a different convention this year. So
Monster Mash. Great song. Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Thomas, your turn. Go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call, and greetings to you, Mr. Lobo. And, you know, one of the things in the 1940s and 1950s, as I remember it as a young adult, is, you know, you'd read these 25-cent paperbacks by Robert Heinlein, Theodore Sturgeon,
yep,
Philip K. Dick, C.M. Kornbluth, Andre Norton, Ray Bradbury.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
Many of them, many of the stories covered mind control, the idea that your mind could be hijacked by some nefarious entity or government institution, whatever. And to young adults like me at the time, movies like The Manchurian Candidate with Frank Sinatra were science fiction, you know, low budget, just like Forbidden Planet, or TV shows like the 1968 The Prisoner. And again, low budget, but we considered them science fiction because mind control was a topic that was, you know, discoursed on heavily by the science fiction writers in the 40s and 50s. And I was wondering if, you know, if you could relate to that on The Manchurian Candidate or The Prisoner or other shows.
Well, definitely, you know, science fiction reflects our real fears. Horror reflects our real fears. And, you know, I think especially in the Cold War, there were a lot of experiments being done and thoughts that we could control people's minds. And you know, I think the fantasy allowed us to explore those things. And certainly The Prisoner, it's like, what do you do with all the people who know too much? Well, you put them on an island and, you know, keep them there, you know. I think that it has a lot to do, again, with our real fears. And I think that science fiction has always been socially aware, and the guys who write that stuff are real smart. And I think a good way to tell the truth is to pretend to lie.
There's a new area that we're spending a lot of time on these days, Mr. Lobo, and that is the area of conspiracies. Are you seeing that now in that genre of movies or TV shows?
There's definitely a lot with conspiracies, but I feel like it's so mainstreamed. I think that everyone feels that all these conspiracies are happening.
Are real, yeah.
Yeah, I it's a different kind of thing. It's like, okay, you know, we all understand that this is going on, so let's explore this idea. You know, that's very different than maybe this might be happening. This kind of thing could be happening. The approach, the tack now is this is real, and how do we deal with it?
Howard is west of the Rockies in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, Howard. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George. Mr. Lobo.
Hi there.
Greetings.
I'm old enough to remember a lot of these science fiction series is on television. I recall science fiction theater. I remember how it used to start out, you know, panning around a laboratory showing these different instruments.
With that great music.
Yes. And the one that I saw, you know, perhaps about 20 years ago that was probably the most imaginative sci-fi series I've ever seen is called Farscape.
That was a great show. Jim Henson, I believe, was involved with that.
The Muppet guy?
Yeah.
And
were outstanding.
It really had a cheesy set, you know, but it was funny and it was creative. The one that
great characters.
The series that really unsettled me the most, you know, that's what you're asking about, was One Step Beyond. And
I love that show, that series.
And what gave that an extra edge was that all of the stories were supposed to be true. You know, at the end of every story, they always had a list of people that had signed affidavits and things of this sort as to the reality of what had happened. And there's one particular episode that I remember that really unsettled me. I don't know if you, I wondered if you could help me remember what the title of it was. This was about, this took place in Germany back in the 1930s. It was before the war started. And there was a group of people that had formed a glider club. And every weekend they took this glider up into the Alps, and there was a meadow up there. They'd use their car to tow this thing and get it aloft. And
it was called Reunion, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the last, when they knew the war was coming, they all swore to each other that they would meet back at that same place. The first Sunday after the war. And
I remember that episode. Yes, I didn't remember what it was called though.
Yep, Reunion, 1959.
Stuff.
Yeah, quick. Well, that was a great one. I also remember the one where the guy invented the pill that you dropped into water and it turned into gasoline.
There was one where the woman, wasn't she shrinking? She was slowly sort of just wasting away, you know? That was one that really, I saw it when I was a kid and it really bothered me.
Probably real. Let's go to David in Columbus, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hi, David. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm 60. I've been listening to you for ages and ages on and off. It's the first time I've called.
Well, thank you.
I really do enjoy sitting up with you all. I don't know what my brother's 10 years older than me used to keep me up at night. My parents went and played bridge every weekend. I don't think anybody plays bridge anymore. And we watched Chiller.
They're all playing Pokemon now.
Yeah, really. We watched Chiller Theater, and I'd have these terrible nightmares, and I can remember Mom jumping all over him. Don't let that boy do that again next weekend. Let me do it again next weekend over and over all my life. In a young life there, we watched these. There was one show, though, and it's really the reason I called. All I can remember of it is just a still shot of a lizard type alien man with a boomerang, and inside the boomerang curve were these big notches. And when he threw it, he could just cut anything in half with it. But it was just a scene of him standing more or less on a hill, just terrified the you-know-what out of me. But I don't ever remember seeing it since, and I don't remember. I just thought I'd throw it out and see if either one of you two might remember.
Boomerang. It's not the Gorn from Star Trek. I can't think of what the lizard with a boomerang might be. Does that ring a bell with you, George?
No, it doesn't. How about you, Tommy? Do you know that one? No, he doesn't either.
If I think of it, I'll report in. You know, my fans are pretty smart. I bet you I'll end up hearing what that is.
Somebody has seen something. That's the great part. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to Bob in Tucson, Arizona on the wild card line. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey,
how are you? I'm walking my dog like I usually do and listening to Coast to Coast.
What a great way, huh?
Yeah.
And I think in Tucson, they might actually have lizards with boomerangs, so watch out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah. They're on my walls. My dog chases them. But anyway, guy stole my thunder about science fiction theater. I was going to tell you how much I used to love the opening shot of the laboratory with all the stuff.
We don't have exciting-looking labs anymore. You know, I think our scientists need to get to work on some cooler-looking labs.
Yeah. One thing, two of my favorite sci-fi movies. I just love 50s sci-fi. And I love The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Robert Wise.
Watch that one again and again. And I love the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That, to me, is one of the most terrifying movies ever.
Black and white, too, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Kevin McCarthy was really
Kevin McCarthy, yeah, he just gets so caught up in his terror as everybody around him is turning into aliens. You know? It's great.
I feel like that. I feel like him a lot in my life. I kind of feel like
turning into aliens. Yeah, I don't blame you.
Pod people.
But, boy, I'm just, all over
iPod
YouTube.
People. Now they're iPod
and,
people.
Other places trying to find, these old gems.
Yeah, YouTube's great for that.
I love the ones that were set in the Arizona desert, like Tarantula, and, the ones where you had giant insects.
The huge ants. Great. Remember the huge ants?
Yeah.
All of this tied into after the war.
Space, I believe, is the desert also.
Yeah, it was always some atomic experiment gone horribly wrong,
One of my favorites, The First Man into Space. or he came back, something happened to him.
Yes,
something happened.
I remember that.
Did you ever see the movie Martyrs?
Martyrs?
It's supposed to be an amazing horror film, and it's a redo of a 2008 French film.
Martyrs, have not seen
it. They say it is the greatest horror film of the 21st century. I haven't seen it either.
They said that about The Babadook also, which is a two-hour Zoloft commercial.
Probably. Brad, driving in Ohio somewhere. Hello, Brad. Go ahead. First-time caller.
Yes, first-time caller, long-time listener. Glad I finally got through.
Great. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the movie Motel Hell.
Wonderful.
It was a great movie. I was born in 1981, so I'm coming up on my 35th birthday. And, you know, the time that that movie came out, it was just so creepy to me.
Meat's meat and man's got to eat.
I've seen it a few years ago, and seeing that John Ratzenberger actually had a cameo role in it.
John Ratzenberger is in a lot of films, you know, before Cheers, you know, he was kind of like a bit player. You see him in a lot of old films.
Yeah, that movie to me, I think I was either 6 or 7 when it came out. And it was so creepy to me, you know, the idea of a family recipe sausage made out of hitchhikers that were, you know, captured by
sure, and they buried people up to their necks and harvested them. It was a terrifying film, but yeah, very funny too. Yeah. Very, very satirical and smart. Really, if you watch it now, when I was younger, it was just terrifying. But you watch it now, it's very clever and funny. You know, that part you miss because you're hiding your eyes most of the time.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you. Great memories.
Hell.
Who comes up with these things? What kind of a mindset do you have to be in to do this?
Very intelligent people. Very, 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 very bored and intelligent people.
There was another one. I think it was based in Australia. I can't remember the name of it. Doggone it. I think it was Escape from Whoop Whoop or something.
Escape from Whoop Whoop. Wow.
I got to find out that.
You got some doozies, man. We're going to have to compare notes at some point.
I've got to find the name of this one. This was weird. It was about all these strange people, and they manufactured pet food. You can imagine what the pet food was, right?
Sure. It's like a corpse grinder situation.
And if people came in there, they got trapped. But I got to get the name of it. I'm pretty sure it's almost that name.
Well, The Corpse Grinders is a movie about making cat food out of people. But I don't know if that's the movie you're talking about.
No. That's not it. And they played a crazy song that you go to sleep and you dream about the song and you can't sleep anymore. It's just...
Oh, wow. Wow, this sounds fascinating.
Yeah, you got to watch that. You got to put that up on one of your shows. Give us your websites again, Mr. Lobo.
OSI74.com and CinemaInsomnia.com.
All right, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment with Mr. Lobo. We're going to take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Maybe I'll find the name of that crazy movie based in Australia. You never know. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're going to take your tweet questions during open lines and the texts as well. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, Mr. Lobo with us, our final segment, open lines next hour. So I found the name of that movie based in Australia. It's called Welcome to Whoop Whoop. It's
Welcome
weird.
To Whoop Whoop.
They're making dog food out of kangaroos. And if you stumble into this area, they don't let you go. Now, they call it an Australian comedy film.
Okay. Probably a dark comedy.
Dark comedy. And there is dark comedy, isn't there?
Absolutely. In most horror films, a lot of them have a sense of humor. I think you need the tension and the release. I think a lot of times, especially when you revisit some of these horror films, you realize that the directors are self-aware. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they sure do. Let's go back to the phones. Oh, boy, you've got one here. Hello there.
Oh, no.
Hello, JC. Do not tell me hello. How dare you? have this dirty, low-down television terrorist. First of all, do you know who this is?
I know who it is. How could I not remember that voice after 25 years or whatever?
Listen, it's been 25 years of pure torment. But you're trying to get me off topic here. I'm trying to talk to Mr. Lowbrow. Now, listen, Mr. Lowbrow.
Lowbrow. Now, JC, that's not nice. You give religious fanatics a bad name.
How about low-down, dirty television terrorists? Would you prefer that?
I don't prefer that either. JC, you already are polluting my channel with your mean comments, and now you're going to attack me when I'm on George's show. We're having so much fun here talking about fun movies, and then you drop your big wet blanket on everything.
Fun movies. Grinding people up in the dog food. That sounds like so much fun. You're taking my words out of context when I returned your phone calls. Listen, coach, audience. Mr. Lowbrow has been prank calling JC's telephones. It's not me calling him. It's him calling me. And when I respond, then he takes my words out of context. I dare you to give me a real show. Allow me to host the religious programming that we need to do. But what you do, Mr. Lowbrow, is what you have on your channel is low-down degenerate. The horror host. Let me tell you about the horror host. What is the difference between the dirty, filthy, drug-addicted bum on the corner who's begging you and hitting you up and panhandling you for money and the horror host? What's the difference?
There's a big difference.
They make more money.
The panhandlers do. The only difference is they're on your TV panhandling you and subverting the minds of the youth. Listen, Mr. George, we've talked about evil before, and we've had our differences, but we've got to come together against a common evil.
Oh, now you want to butter up to me, J.C.
No, I'm not buttering to anything, but you have to say...
Where's Edna?
Listen, I have to clear something up right now. There's a rumor going around that J.C. had actually kissed Edna on the lips. This is lies. These are lies. I need to preemptively strike down these lies. J.C. never did anything of that nature.
J.C., are you breaking down? You're crying.
I never kissed. Listen, Edna has never come back. She's still hiding out, and it's not that I miss Edna. It's just that she's got $10,000 of the Lord's money. And that money could go a long way in ministering to other wayward young women and mature women.
Oh, my God. You've changed over the years.
But you're getting me off topic. Well, I was going to talk about the degenerate channel and the kind of characters that Mr. Lowbrow has on there. There's a fellow on there called Ormond Grimley. Have you seen this cadaver?
Ormond Grimsby, or he's a North Carolina horror host, and he's a very nice man. He does a family-friendly show. It's very old school Halloween stuff, and it's good stuff.
Well, Halloween is the devil's birthday, and he celebrates. These people run around. George, what's wrong with these people? They run around in Halloween costumes year round. Something is mentally wrong, spiritually wrong with them, and they're destroying America.
JC, you're having a nervous breakdown.
I've never heard JC like this.
No, he's having a breakdown right on the air here.
Destroying America.
Drink some fruit juice, take your meds, and, you know, watch some horror movies and keep America strong.
It's destroying America. And who is your spiritual mentor? Bob Wilkins used to say that. I've researched every aspect of you, Mr. Lowbrow, because this is spiritual warfare. You've declared it on me by calling my telephone and using my words out of context. And hiding out, Edna. I know that they're hiding out.
I'm not hiding, Edna. And, you know, we're giving you a platform on our channel to give you some equal time to speak your mind. We're showing the religious cartoons. We're showing Davy and Goliath. You know, we churched it up a little bit just for you, and this is how you repay me, by insulting me in front of George?
I haven't insulted you. Listen, maybe the spirit could work together to save America, but I don't think so. It's a trick. It's always a trick with these horror hosts are much like magicians, degenerate, lowbrow magicians. We're always pulling tricks on people and tricks on America.
What about clowns, JC? What do you think of clowns?
Clowns. They're running around crying all the time and laughing at people and popping balloons behind your head. They're bad. They're a horror host. There's no difference between a low-down, dirty clown and a horror host on your television.
Well, clowns make more money also, but yes, not too much difference.
All right, Jesse, I'm going to let you go. I want you to go back. I want you to calm down. Mr. Lobo, the guy's having a nervous breakdown.
I've never heard him like this, George. Never. This is a turning point. I think he's had a mental break.
When he starts trying to side with me, over anybody else, he's broken down.
I can't believe this, you know? I mean, I'm not that bad of a guy. I don't know what JC is.
Of course not.
Not against me.
I mean, the last time he called me, I was heading up the mob.
And now he's teaming up with you to stop the vicious
to stop the horror host. Well, far from that. I'm not going to do that. But do you have Edna hidden away in a compound somewhere?
I don't have Edna, but if she needs a safe bed and a safe place to stay, you know, it would be hard to say no to keep her away from that maniac.
Let's go to Tribuco Canyon, California on Skype. Steve's with us. Boy, Steve, what a follow-up. Go ahead.
Yeah, follow that, Steve.
Fantastic. George, I have not heard him in a long time.
Why, it's been a while.
Well,
don't know what I've been missing.
Set the not-so-way-back machine, Mr. Lobo, to 1979.
Sorry. Yes, 1979. Good year.
My seventh birthday, we were taken to the movies to see a really corny sci-fi flick called Laser Blast.
Classic. Lots of great stop-motion animation in that film.
But six of us had already seen Laser Blast, so we snuck in to see Tourist Trap.
Oh, wow. Yes. So which, directed by Toby Hooper from Chainsaw.
Scarred our poor little mental beings for years to come.
Yeah. Yeah. That was terrifying. It was basically, I wouldn't say Texas Chainsaw in a swamp, but it was scary.
It was my introduction to Chuck Connors, I think it was.
From the Rifleman.
Yeah, I never had seen The Rifleman, but, you know, when we were watching later The Rifleman reruns, hey, Chuck Connors, that's that guy from the movie. And four of the people who were there that day, 3 years later, still remember that dang movie. We learned our lesson, don't sneak into other films. Just go to the one that you paid to see.
I'm sure movie theater managers from across the country are thanking you for the public service.
Tweet question in here for you, Mr. Lobo, from Amber. She says, Poltergeist still freaks me out 36 years later. What's the best new horror film that you think has the staying power like Poltergeist?
To be honest, I feel Insidious is a really good follow-up to that. I think it was a better Poltergeist remake than the Poltergeist remake. I think that the Insidious is a good take on that. Kind of
remakes generally don't do better than the original.
Generally don't, but you know, 90% of all movies fail. So some of those are remakes. I think we were talking about Invasion of the Body Snatchers earlier. I think the 79 Invasion of the Body Snatchers is pretty darn good.
So what are you going to say to JC the next time he pops up on your channel? Would you doing him a favor, by the way?
Yeah, I thought so. You know, you try to help people and they bite you.
Big time.
Yep.
Big time. I mean, I could have kept him on a little bit longer, but he was having a breakdown right under our noses.
I'm glad. I think you did him a favor by cutting him off, to be honest, George. He was losing it.
Costa Mesa, California. It's Joy's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Joy. Go ahead.
Back in the 50s, my grandma took me to a movie that gave me nightmares for decades. All I remember is a UFO hiding under like a giant sand trap in a neighborhood. And the ship was like a typical, flying saucer shape, but it had a big silvery swan head-shaped nozzle that could turn, and it had red on it, and it could shoot out a ray to hurt people.
Sounds like War of the Worlds to me. Sounds like the 1950s version, or the George Powell version of War of the Worlds.
Now, did that also have a scene in it where the people were face down and a rod would go into the back of their skull and do an implant?
That's different. That is in Invaders from Mars.
Oh, that's Invaders from Mars.
And there's a little boy, and all the adults keep going over Copper Hill, where the saucer had landed. And when they come back from Copper Hill, they're different. They're not the same people anymore.
Right.
And then he finally falls down into the sand pit, and he sees the place where these bug-eyed monsters are drilling into the back of people's heads and implanting these little things in the back of their necks.
Right, right. That was Invaders from Mars?
Invaders from Mars, yep.
Okay, so absolutely. Now I can see it now, what, 60, 70 years later and
and you'll laugh. I bet you you'll have a good laugh.
Well, thank you, dear. You finally answered the mystery.
All right.
You enjoy it.
Appreciate it. We'll take a few more calls here. Steve in Florida, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Steve.
Pleasure talking to you guys. My name is Steve Biazzi. I'm a former sci-fi and comic book illustrator and now an avid collector of sci-fi movies.
Oh, how cool. What a great collection you must have.
Well, not anymore. But I do have a great film and TV collection. I just wanted to let you know, number one, sci-fi theater, science fiction theater, is available on DVD, the whole series. One episode featured, I know, DeForest Kelly. Another episode featured Vincent Price. Those two episodes stood out to me.
Wow.
Do you remember a show before The Twilight Zone called Tales of Tomorrow?
Yes, I do.
There are three volumes of that available with a lot of the same stars, up-and-coming stars that were on The Twilight Zone.
There's a famous Tales of Tomorrow. I'm going to tell me if I'm wrong, but there's a famous Tales of Tomorrow where it's Lon Chaney Jr. is drunk, and he's supposed to be portraying Frankenstein, and he thinks they're doing the dress rehearsal, but it's the live show. Instead of breaking all the furniture and breaking all of the props, he just gently sets everything down. He'll make a big gesture and then gently sets a chair down, and then makes a big gesture and gently sets the table down, as if it's a dress rehearsal. But it's all happening live and embarrassing.
And that ran from 51 to 53.
Yeah, there's at least three volumes of that show collected. I don't know if it's the whole series or not. I do have one question for you. Was that movie The Mysterians, the Japanese film, where the people, where the aliens were starfish and turned into people? Trying to find out the name of
that.
They
weren't starfish, I don't think. Were they starfish?
No, I don't think they were starfish.
No. I think that
there's a movie from Japan I remember seeing in the 60s where the starfish creatures became human.
I think that's They Came from Outer Space or something like that.
I'm still looking for that film. Anyway.
I think there's star.
It was called Warning. It was called Warning from Space.
Warning. Right. Not They Came. It's Warning.
I already had that in my collection. I've got so much stuff.
I think JC turned my mixed me up. Turned my brain around.
Turned it into mush.
Yeah, he does that.
There you go. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Couple more, and then we'll go to open lines. Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Chuck. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was fortunate enough to grow up in Cleveland in the late 60s, early 70s, where we had three horror hosts running, you know, at the same time period over the course of a weekend.
Wow.
So
yeah, well, that's the breadbasket of horror hosting right there.
Was Graves Ghastly one of them?
No. We had Houlihan and Big Chuck.
Was Superhost one of them?
Superhost was... And the Ghoul.
I remember Ghoul.
Ghoul, yes. Well, he was in syndication for a while, so we got him in San Francisco for a short while.
Right. So over the course of a weekend, you know, you could watch a one of the classic Universal horror movies and, you know, like a European, Italian, you know, movie like Black Sunday.
Mario Bava, great film.
Yes, and, you know, or you know, sci-fi like X, The Man with X-Ray Eyes.
Another classic, Roger Corman.
One of them that really scared me when I was young was a Japanese movie, I believe it's called The Manster.
Yes, yeah, Japanese-American co-production. He had the eyeball growing out of his shoulder, and then he grew a whole other head out of his shoulder.
Yes, yeah, that one bothered me for quite a while when I was a kid.
The Ghoul is still alive.
Not better than one.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Hey, thanks. The Ghoul is still alive, Mr. Lobo.
I know. I've done two shows with him. I did two live shows with the Ghoul, and you know, that guy's much older than I am, and he was bouncing around on hoppity hops and shooting a pumpkin seed.
Yeah, he was born in 1950.
And he was running. He was wearing Mr. Lobo out. I tell you, I had a lot to learn from that guy. That guy's a total pro. I really enjoyed working with the Ghoul. He was very generous. You know, a lot of people, if they're working with someone who does the same thing, they might be threatened or whatever. He was like, you know, we have the same sense of humor. And he gave me some tips and some ideas. And I asked him how to do a spook show at a drive-in because I've never done one at a drive-in. And he had all these great
ideas and tips, and very, very great guy, a TV veteran.
Well, you know what? I want to thank people like you, Mr. Lobo, the Ghoul, Sir Graves Ghastly, Morgus, for really generating some fun for all of us when we were kids, and we carried it through when we grew up. And you know what? I think people who lack what we went through are missing something in life, don't you?
Absolutely. There, you know, there's the generation who miss it, and there's the generation who missed it. And the ones who missed it, I think, missed out, and I think a lot of them are mad, and I think that's why there's a resurgence now, because of the internet and because of the access of all the old shows. We've got a new generation of horror host fans out there, and they're hungry. They want new stuff, and they want to have some fun, darn it.
Not a lot of time, but Don in Salem, Oregon, let's squeeze you in, Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, at 15, Night of the Living Dead got my attention. When I joined the Marine Corps at the age of 17, they got my attention. JC scares me. Thanks, guys.
A tough Marine scared of JC?
Yeah, well, you know, JC is a creep of a new... of.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate
it. Definitely spooky.
He's a strange animal, I'll tell you that. Anyway, Mr. Logo, Lobo, or Logo.
Or Logo. I need a logo.
You need a logo for the Lobo, but thanks for being on the program. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And, you know, I'm always here for you, George. You ever want to talk about monster movies,
you got it.
You know, I always enjoy our chats. So
keep in touch with Tom. Send him a little clip every month, and we'll put it up on the website.
We will put together some spooky, kooky, and altogether ooky things for
I
you
love
and
it.
Your fans.
You got it. Thank you. Mr. Lobo. So we're going to have open lines coming up in just a moment. Let's have some fun with those. Plus, in the second hour, we're going to do a little contest. I want to give away books, but you got to work for it.